Welcome to the Money Makers podcast, brought to you by Sophia. Sophia is an exciting education platform for women focused on managing your money and growing your wealth. This podcast is a show for amazing women everywhere of all ages. We will feature conversations on all areas of our lives where money matters affect women.
And today's guest joining me is Christine, my co-founder at Sophia. Morning, Christine.
Morning, Tanya. It's so great to be in the podcast, as always.
Thank you for joining me. We are both here for our third founder podcast from the Sophia team to talk about our recent Women's Financial Education Survey. Christine, would you like to share with our listeners the reasons and objectives behind this survey?
Thanks, Tanya. You know, I think it was really important for us, especially as we're a financial education platform focused on women's wealth, to really get to the heart of women and their relationship with financial education, especially as it relates to their long-term wealth creation. And so we ran an informal survey in February to get to the heart of this issue. And I think you'd agree with me, and we're going to talk about this just shortly, but the findings were both surprising, but also not surprising. So I think that, you know, I'm really excited to just to delve into these stats that came out from the survey with you today.
Yes, absolutely agree with you, Christine. I think that we were perhaps not shocked because one of the reasons Sophia exists, of course, is to help women overcome some of these challenges. So we knew that these challenges existed. But to really understand what some of the barriers are and to dive into slightly more depth around those points is very interesting for me. And this comes off the back of, for me personally, I had a room of women here in Singapore and talking about financial education. And it was one of the most vulnerable, open, honest conversations I've had with a group of women about money. And it really piqued my interest in finding out on a larger scale, because I think for both you and I, Christine, and probably Nicole as well, our other co-founder, we hear a lot of it anecdotally, and we can probably guess what the bigger picture is. But to hear from women en masse, I think is very interesting. So before we kick off into our data points, I wanted to just to set the scene with regards to women and their wealth as it stands today. So women are holding on to more of their cash than men, meaning men are investing more of their money than women, which of course enables more wealth to be built. The other important statistic I think worth mentioning is that in a UBS study, it noted that 80% of women are doing more short-term financial planning versus 24% are doing more long-term financial planning. So thinking about investments and insurance and, you know, the retirement, which may be some years ahead. And ultimately, women retire with less money, and yet we live longer. So we have less and we have to make it last longer. We do have higher medical bills, probably because we live longer. But it means that it's more important for women to be engaged and to be mobilizing their capital and putting it towards their financial future. Anything you want to add to that before we jump into our data points, Christine?
What? You know, the UBS study always just, you know, shocks me. I mean, all of it shocks me, really, but it's very true, right? And yesterday, I gave a talk about Sophia and the gender investing gap for the South China Morning Post conference, Women of Our Time. And as I was talking about the Hong Kong gender pay gap, as I was talking about the UBS study, where, you know, we saw that, you know, women are kind of showing that they have this deferment activity, that where they're deferring investment is decisions to their partners through marriage. I mean, I saw the crowd nodding, and women came up to me afterwards and said, "That was me. That's me. And you've really kind of shone a light on this, and I need to pay attention to this." And it's true, right? So I think this is just something that we need to keep to the forefront always, that we need to understand that we're living longer. And so retirement is ever present for us. And so this is just one of the big reasons why we need to prioritize our investing lives now.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely agree. We're going to pull out five key points from our survey, our results, just to highlight the high level themes of the survey. And I'm going to kick off with the first point, which is 96.2% of women that we surveyed believe that there are areas in their financial knowledge that need improvement. So this is huge and leaves very little room for misinterpretation. it's a huge market for Sophia, of course, but it is a huge gap in knowledge that needs to be addressed. A lot of work needs to be done.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's a recognition of the fact that we are not taught this anywhere, right? Yeah. This is, I saw this finfluencer on Instagram recently. She made this reel about saying, you know, investing is a life skill and you need it to survive. And yet we're just not taught this anywhere. So this is just drives the point home. We all need this, right? And it's nice that, you know, women agree. Yes, there are gaps in our knowledge. And we got to get to the bottom of it.
You've hit a really important nail on the head there, Christine, because I think for a lot of women, I know certainly from a lot of my friends, a lot of people in that room that I was talking about earlier on, they often believe that they're the only ones and that the gap is with them and everyone else knows something that they don't. So this statistic, 96.2% believe that they have a gap in their knowledge, actually is, I think, somewhat reassuring. I mean, it's obviously dire and we need to address that. But I think for women, we're very good at telling ourselves, we're the ones with the problem. We have something that we don't have, something that everyone else has. And to your point, financial education is lacking for almost all of us. And so this actually just speaks to support that point. And I hope that women can take away from that, that they are not in this on their own, that almost everyone, except 0.8% of the population, female population, in fact, feel very similar. So I think there's a really powerful statistic for women.
Absolutely.
The second statistic I want to pull out from our survey is that 57% of respondents have not participated in a bank-sponsored financial education program because they didn't know if their bank offered one. And we spoke about this the other day, Christine. I can raise my hand. I have no idea if my bank offers a financial education program. Perhaps they do. I've been thinking about that since our conversation the other day. Perhaps they do. And when they reached out to me, I just thought, well, that doesn't look like it's for me, and didn't even acknowledge it. Or maybe they don't. But either way, it's certainly not resonating with me if they do, and nor with 57% of our other respondents. Any thoughts on that one?
I mean, I think for the first thing, there are a lot of financial resources out there online, even with banks. But, you know, first thing I'd like to say is that, yeah, you've got to look for it. It's not really sort of front and center of your banking life, right? And it should be. I think it should be front and center of your banking life. So that's the first point. The second point to you, what you were saying, it doesn't look like it's for me. I mean, that is very powerful because it's very true, right? There's a real opportunity to work with financial services to make sure that they're speaking to 51% of the world's population, Tanya, right? And as we say at Sophia, this is a $700 billion opportunity that financial services companies can unlock in women as a customer demographic. So if women are not participating, or majority of women are not participating in a bank-sponsored financial education program because they didn't know if their bank offered one, there's a huge opportunity, right, to say, well, here is one, and here is one that looks like it's for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And furthermore, you've already acquired those customers, which is, you know, a huge challenge. And, you know, customer acquisition is particularly difficult. So if you have those customers and they're not doing anything with their money, this is a great potential untapped opportunity and arbitrage for banks to tap into. Okay, so there's a point I want to make around who does our respondents of our survey trust? And 70% of respondents to our survey said that they trusted an independent financial education company. Now, that doesn't mean just Sophia. We're not the only independent financial education company, although we are one of probably the only female-focused financial education platform in Asia. But there are others out there. But it's interesting. And I think that for me, that's one of the best statistics to come out of our survey because it really does support what we believe at Sophia, which is banks have a wonderful, huge female customer base, and we can help them in engaging those women in financial education, in mobilizing that capital. And I think that's something that we've always believed at Sophia, and it's just great to see that in this survey to ring true.
Absolutely. And I just do want to say here, also, when we refer to an independent financial education company, I mean, that's to say that it's a company that's not engaged in selling financial products or services, right? Yeah. So I think that speaks to the need for impartial financial education, right? Where there's no agenda, there's no sales agenda of, you know, peddling a product or offering financial advisory of any kind. It's really, hey, learn about this. It's important. And that's it. And you know, clearly women respond to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the flip side of the trust and the trust in an independent company like Sophia or others, 20% of our survey respondents said that they don't trust the impartiality of a bank or equivalent's content. And it's not about not trusting the bank. It's yes. just they want that impartiality. They want that third party. Yes. They want to know that the content that they're receiving is straight up information, as opposed to, I'm going to try and manipulate you to buy something that I'm also selling. And I think that, you know, women, we do tend to be actually quite, you know, we it takes a lot to convince us to hand over our hard-earned cash. And so we want to know that what we're receiving is the best advice, the best information, rather than the best for the service provider. So I think Absolutely. That's really interesting and sort of backs up that previous quote around trusting someone independent and impartial.
Yes, 100%.
And the final thing we want to touch on, which I think is very important, and Christine, you and I have said the words jargon a gazillion times in the last year, but 32% of our respondents don't engage in financial education due to the jargon. Like, this is music to our ears, right? Because this is absolutely what we believe to be true and why we launched Sophia, because financial education actually in itself is not necessarily gendered. It's gender
not
neutral.
At all.
But there's definitely data that suggests that, you know, too much jargon is very off-putting to women. And also, it's unnecessary. It's just super unnecessary. And I know you agree with that around the necessity of jargon. And of course, there is some level of jargon that's needed. But, you know, when you look at financial education that's out there, it's littered with jargon, so much so yes. that you almost lose the meaning.
And this is why, actually, Tanya, you know, when we do craft our courses, we're very careful to make sure, even if there is jargon, we always talk about, you know, what that means in layperson or laywoman's terms, if you will, right? Because, you know, we want to make sure that women are engaging, right, with it, because disengaging with financial education for any reason is a terrible thing, as we've talked about, and the stats bear this out. We want to make sure that every single barrier that we have as women to create wealth, that we tackle those head on. And if 32% of our respondents are not engaging in financial education because there is this jargon that is just difficult to get through, I mean, that's not a hard problem to solve, right?
100%. And I just want to add to that before we wrap up. It's not about dumbing down. We don't dumb down language for women. It's not about that. It's just acknowledging that a lot of it is unnecessary. And we can actually understand concepts without being weighed down in, you know, in acronyms and things like that, that just don't excite, engage, or pique the interest of many women that are wanting to learn. So I think this has been awesome. I think we've got a great survey. I think if anyone is interested in, you know, if any banks, financial services companies are interested in finding out more about our survey results, we have a full report. So do reach out to us. Contact details are in the show notes, and we can certainly share that with you. We have one last thing to say to you, and that is Happy International Women's Day. Thank you so much, Christine. It's very early here, so thank you for getting up earlier.
Thanks, Tanya.
Being so energetic.
Absolutely.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Money Makers Podcast, brought to you by Sophia, the education platform for women. Visit sophiawomen.com and use code PODCAST10 to receive a 10% discount on all our courses. Learn, invest, and change the world.